Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on that day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to the heavens? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. The Gospel of the Lord. This passage from the Gospel of Matthew reveals Jesus at the end of his rope. The Gospels offer very few scenes of a frustrated Jesus. We rarely see Jesus take such a condemnatory stance. It must have made a deep impression on the writer for it to be considered part of the gospel narrative. I believe that behind Jesus' seemingly harsh words is a deep, deep love, a love that comes out of his depths. And out of this love, Jesus has worked miracle after miracle. These were not displays of power. Rather, these miracles were performed out of a tender concern for people in need. Jesus has done all but stand on his head, I think, to bring the inhabitants of Chorazin, of Bethsaida, of Capernaum, to an understanding of his message and thus to conversion. I am sure that many of us can readily identify with Jesus' feelings of frustration. Many of us experience this when, as teachers, we've done all in our power to help a student understand a concept. But no matter how hard we tried, he or she just didn't get it. Or think of times when we have done all we could to keep someone from making a rash or senseless decision, but to no avail. Such is the pain experienced by Jesus. Under his frustration is a deep yearning, a longing for these folks to understand God's desire for them. Jesus wants nothing more than to awaken people to God's love, to the abundance of grace awaiting us all. Remember the words from Luke that speak of this deep, gut-wrenching love. I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Jesus wants to set fire to us, a fire within us, a fire that knows God's fiery love for us. These are the words of one who passionately wants our well-being, the well-being indeed of all creation. We are much beloved by God. And why are we slow to believe this and to shape our lives accordingly? Our Dominican brother, Meister Eckhart, tells us, "Be prepared at all times for the gifts of God, and be ready always for new ones. God is 1,000 times more ready to give than we are to receive." May we be open to the lavishness of such a God.